Well, as you probably guessed, we're having a break from 1 Peter tonight, a break for you and a break for me as well. And we're going to consider one of these illustrations here in John chapter 10. We're going to think about the office, the role of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to consider what Jesus meant when he said in verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Well, before we get into the real meaning of the verse and look at various words within it, let's just take a broader view of the passage of John 10, just to understand the context, just to understand the life and the work of a shepherd in biblical times. I hope that will help us to grasp some of the richness of the illustration and help to bring things alive for us as we look into this passage. In verse 1, Jesus speaks about entering the sheepfold. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Entering the sheepfold. Well, what is a sheepfold? What was a sheepfold in first century Palestine? Well, it was a roofless enclosure in an open field. A roofless enclosure in an open field. It consisted of a wall of rough stones. There was a door, and there was no roof. The thief or the robber would not choose to enter by the door because the door would be locked. And inside the door, there would be the doorkeeper. The thief or the robber, if he's going to do his business, is going to have to get up over the sides of the wall to scale the wall to get in to steal the sheep. Why do thieves enter another way? Because they don't want the doorkeeper to see them. They want to get in secret. They want to get in from under the shepherd's nose. What about the shepherd? Verse 2. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The shepherd enters through the door. That's what it's for. It's for him to go in, to take, and to call his sheep out. And Jesus is here describing the everyday work of the shepherd. During the night, the doorkeeper has been with the sheep. In the morning, the doorkeeper hears the shepherd's voice from outside the enclosure, from outside the sheepfold, and he opens the door and he lets the sheep out. And there, the shepherd, he's calling them one by one, name by name, calling them out of the sheepfold. Verse 3, "To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." The sheep knowing the voice of the shepherds. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that the shepherd has a voice which is distinct to sheep. Don't think of sheep being able to discern voices, do you? But they can. And they do. And we have it here in this illustration. And the shepherd knows the sheep intimately. He knows the different characteristics of the sheep, their personalities, the way they act, not just the way they look. To me, they all may all look the same, but the shepherd's like a father and he cares for them and he knows what they're like. He knows the ones he's got to keep an eye on. He knows the stragglers. Knows those that are out in front, those who follow him the closest. And the sheep know his voice. And as we know, the sheep in the Middle East, they don't need to be driven in a direction. You don't need a guy on a quad bike driving behind them or a sheepdog to get them to go in a particular way. He's out before, the shepherd's in front, he's leading, and the sheep are coming behind him. They follow him, and the shepherd leads them. Besides the waters, not running waters, but still water so they can drink. He takes them up on the green pastures. David's recorded lots of these things in Psalm 23 for us, hasn't he? From time to time, the shepherd would bump into other shepherds. How does the flocks come together? The sheep get all mixed up together. How does he know which are his? Well, he walks away again and he calls them. And they begin to break apart. And the sheep follow the shepherd. Well, these things give us a bit of an insight, don't they, into first century shepherd life. Still shepherds today, aren't there? In some countries. Still living in this way. Still doing some of the same things that we have here in John chapter 10. That sheepfold, it was a place of protection, place of safety, place where they would be kept from wild animals. A flock together, secure. And just gives a bit of the background there. Well, let's move in to consider the words of the Lord Jesus there in verses 7 and verses 9. So what's the first thing that Jesus tells us about? We know he's the good shepherd. Is that the illustration he uses first? No, it isn't. Verse 7. Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." He says he's the door. That's the first illustration he uses. "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door." I think sometimes as we look at the passage, we can think, I mean, if I look at the headings in my chapter, Jesus the true shepherd, Jesus the good shepherd, and that's right, but there's a lot about the door as well, isn't there? That's the first one that's mentioned. Well, what is Jesus teaching us through this illustration? What he's saying here is that he is the entrance to the sheepfold. He is the door itself. The entrance to the sheepfold is not left unattended. He is the way in. He is the entry point to the sheepfold. Well, what does the sheepfold represent? The sheepfold represents the blessings of personal salvation from sin. It symbolizes entering the kingdom of God. Entering the sheepfold represents being saved from sin, entering the kingdom of God, receiving the blessings of salvation. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture." Just as the sheep must enter through the physical door to find protection and safety and refuge, so the sinner can enter through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ and find salvation and forgiveness, reconciliation with God, peace, security, only through him. And there is only one door. In the sheepfold of God's kingdom, there aren't 10 doors. There aren't 5 doors. There isn't a door, and we'll go into it later, the door of good works. Or the door of church ordinances or anything else. There is only one door. There is only one entry point. And Jesus is making an exclusive statement about himself. No other prophet had ever spoken in this way. God's sheepfold only entered through him. He said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is a sheepfold. There is a kingdom of God. There is a door. Jesus Christ is the door. There is no other way. We'll talk about that a bit more as we go through. Well, you may say in your mind, "Well, why do I need to go through the door? Why is there a door? Why does it talk about the need to be saved there in verse 9? What is salvation?" Well, you and I need to be saved from sin because we're like sheep. Sheep are notorious for wandering away, for getting themselves into difficulty, for losing their bearings. Sheep going astray, wandering away from the shepherds. He's out of sight. They begin to wander away, wandering into dangerous terrain, wandering near the ravine. You may say, "Well, why do you draw a parallel between humans and sheep?" Well, they only do because That's what Isaiah 53 said. That was why we read the passage. Sometimes it's an easy option for an Old Testament reading, but actually, that's why I read it out. In verse 6 there, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's a characteristic of human nature. That's the way that people, as we grow up in this world without God, that's the way that we live. Turn everyone to his own way. We need to be saved. We need to get into the sheepfold. Because outside the sheepfold there's danger. It's treacherous. There's difficulty. Have you ever wondered why it is that human beings, sinners, as the Bible describes and defines people, wander away from God? Why, when God is calling us to follow him, to trust in him, why people wander away, as far away as they can get away from God? Well, the reason is that like sheep, there is a foolishness within the heart of man, within the heart of each one of us. There is a sinfulness. There is a rebellion. There is a bias away from God, wandering away, doing our own thing. By nature, we don't like to be led by others, do we? No one, especially men, probably young men, probably don't like catching the bus. Why is that? Because if I can drive, I want to be in the driving seat. I want to go where I want to go. I don't want to get on the bus and be driven by somebody else. We like to drive. We like to be in the driving seat. An independent spirit is seen in an independence from God, in a wandering away from him. Or we can wander through life directionless, without purpose, without aim, not knowing what's going to happen next. Is it, if we get over the next hill, what's there? We don't know. We don't know that we're exposed and we're vulnerable. We don't know what there could be there. And people are vulnerable to follow false and vain philosophy, where in our society today, people are wandering away from God and embracing all sorts of philosophies and ideas. What really all they're doing is taking God off his throne and putting man on God's throne. Putting the Bible away, saying there is no objective truth. There is no objective standard of right and wrong and of moral. And we turn into an amoral society. And people are embracing these sins and wandering away. And there's no direction to life. There's no purpose. And people don't know that there's an aim. Don't know the bigger picture. The consequence is that life is emptied of any meaning, and the wandering away from God becomes a selfish, just indulging self. As you're going through life, something's not working out, a marriage not working out, just walk away from it, wandering away from God in an emptiness. And the Christian worldview, the Christian Bible, is despised and rejected. Other sheep can wander away from God into difficulty with drink and drugs and get themselves into all kinds of difficulties. Fall into a pit and they're trapped. And the addiction gets stronger and they can't get out. And as they look back on their lives, all they can see is broken relationships and wasted time and money, and their bodies consumed. They're wandered away from God. No idea of a sheepfold, of a place of security, the blessings of salvation, of a relationship with God. Some people can wander away from God and yet they think they're focused and have got goals. Been through a prestigious university, got the career, the job in the city, earning hundreds of thousands a year, thought of a successful businessman, hailed as successful in the world. And we can see that they've had aims and goals and direction. What do you mean I'm wandering through life? But spiritually speaking, without the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone is wandering away from God, wandering away from the sheepfold. Doesn't matter what the position in life, age, status, without Christ, we all wander away from God, because we have a rebellious heart. It's the way that we're born. We're born with it. It's genetic, as it were, spiritually dead. Well, what about your life? Are you wandering through life year to year, not knowing which direction you're going to head into next? And you think about eternal things, not sure if there is one, not sure if you'll make it to heaven. Perhaps you know something of the Bible. Perhaps you may have gone to Sunday school. Perhaps you have a Christian friend or a colleague at work and they've spoken to you, yet you try and shut it out. Wandering away from God. What are the consequences of wandering away, wandering in our own ways? Well, we don't see that wandering away from God is wandering into danger, into eternal danger, into the edge of a cliff, into difficulty. The Bible talks about those who wander through life, wander away from God and don't go to the sheepfold, that they will wander and they will wander into eternal punishment. Don't see the danger, don't see the signs ahead, no idea of what awaits them. Well, is there safety? Is there a place where we can go to? Yes, there is, and that's what we're going to think about now. The blessings of salvation. I am the door. How is it that sinners can receive the blessings of salvation? Well, we're not going to get into the Good Shepherd tonight, but it says there in verse 11 of the chapter, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to die for our sins, that all our wanderings away from God can be taken. And he paid the punishment for them. And he can forgive them. He can cleanse them. He can wash them all away. He came and he died for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, came to rescue, came to save voluntarily, out of love, out of grace, and great compassion and love. What does it mean to be saved? If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be saved from his sins. Jesus expands on it there in verse 10 where he says this, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And that's the essence of being saved from sin, is to have life. If you look down at verse 28, Jesus says there, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. To be saved from sin is also to have eternal life. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other door, no other sheepfold, no other way. Pardon for sin, cleansing of guilt and the conscience, washed clean, an eternal life that begins now. There is a going in, there is a going out to find pasture. I am the door. The assumption today is that the Christian life is something dull, something narrow, something restrictive. The Christian is seen as someone who is negative and cold and clinical, withdrawn, without joy. That's not the biblical Christian life. Yes, the Christian can go through down times and difficult times, yet the Christian is to rejoice in the Lord and to have joy and hope in believing, and to know the hope of glory. Jesus said, through the door there is life abundant, a spiritual dimension to life that cannot be experienced without the new birth, without conversion to God. Conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be known outside the kingdom of God. Life, a vertical relationship with God. To know God, your Creator, personally, individually, as Father, and to love Him, and to rest in Him, and to hope in Him, and to trust in Him in the difficult times of life. Life more abundant. Life more abundant. Well, how can we receive these blessings of eternal life and forgiveness of sins? Well, Jesus says, doesn't he? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, there's got to be a going through the door. And entering in, just like we entered into the church building tonight. A going through, a change, a moving forward. What does it mean by entering in? Well, it's picture language, isn't it? It means believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting your soul to him. To save you from your sins. John, earlier on in chapter 3, verse 16, says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's entering into the sheepfold. That's going through the door, is trusting and resting and depending on the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins. Life without God is without direction. It's wandering. You are a sheep. You were created for a relationship with the shepherd. There is only one way you can enter the sheepfold. It's through the door. Does everyone enter the sheepfold by the door? Or seek to? No. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to kill and to steal and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. They have life more abundantly. People say you can get through the door if you go in with enough good works. If you said enough prayers, if you've done enough kind deeds, enough charitable things, if you belong to the right church, if you've been baptized, is it where you can take these things in and the doorkeeper will let you in because of these things? The Bible says no. Jesus Christ is the door. Thomas Bilney lived in the 1500s in England. He was ordained into the priesthood in the Catholic Church. But despite his ordination and his good works, he was a man who was conscious of his own sin before God. Bilney took his problems to the more senior members of the church. What did they prescribe for him? More good works. More giving. More charitable deeds. You buy your way into the kingdom of God. Buy your way into heaven. Buy your way out of purgatory. Quicker. And he did it. He did more things. But as it were, he was trying to climb a ladder, and as he put his foot on the first rung, it broke. He felt more guilty. More conviction of sin. Didn't give him any peace at all, or freedom, or joy. This life more abundantly, he didn't know anything of it whatsoever. Until he got hold of a copy of the New Testament in Latin and Greek. And he sat reading those words of the Apostle Paul. And as he did that, the light began to dawn on his soul. As he read in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And as he read those words, he realized he'd been wrong all along. He realized that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the door. He's the way in to heaven. His heart was wounded by his sin and guilt, but he was healed. He was comforted. He found light. It was as though he'd seen what he'd been doing, and seen, like many of his contemporaries in the teaching of the church at that time, that he thought he could buy his way in or gain entrance through some other way apart from the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he'd come through him. He'd entered in. He'd been saved from his sin. He'd been able to go in, and he would know that life more abundant. He became one of the leading lights of the English Reformation and gave his life for that cause. Have you entered in through the door of the sheep? Have you entered in through the Lord Jesus Christ? You entered into the sheepfold by faith, through believing alone, faith alone in Him. Well, what are some of the reasons why people don't enter the sheepfold? People can say, well, I've been wandering for years and have refused to enter the sheepfold time after time. As it were, I've walked past the door. Years gone after years gone after year, and I've heard the announcement. I've heard the call of the gospel, but I've wandered past every time. Will He let me in this time? Well, if you or I were in that position, we might have lost patience. But He is so gracious and so kind. He invites you today, just as He did on day one, when you first heard it, to come. He will allow you. He welcomes you. He yearns for you to come, to enter in through Him. He's so full of compassion, so gracious. His door is open. He is there. His arms are open. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. He will bring you through, bring you into the sheepfold, bring you into those blessings of salvation, life more abundant. Another reason why people haven't entered into the sheepfold is, I'll leave it till I'm later. Maybe you say, yes, I will enter into the sheepfold, but not now. When I'm older. And if I enjoyed myself first, when I've done what I want to do, then I'll enter into the sheepfold. Well, is there any guarantee that you'll be here next week? Alive next week? Or even tomorrow? There isn't, is there? There is no guarantee whatsoever. There's a time to be born, there is a time to die, it says in Ecclesiastes. Do we decide when we're going to be born? No, we didn't. God did. There's a time to die, and it's in God's hands. There will come a day when the door of the sheepfold will be closed forever, a day when the opportunity will be gone, as Peter was saying this morning, a day when it will be locked. And there will be judgment for those who've wandered past it and waited and waited. Don't wait. Enter in this evening and be saved. Know that life more abundant. Begin to know the shepherd. Another reason why people may say they haven't entered in, I don't think I need the door because I've led a good enough life. I haven't done anything that bad. If you knew me, you'd say I didn't need it. Well, we all need it. No one can be entered. No one can enter in on the basis of their outward morality or decency. Otherwise, the Pharisees would have got in, wouldn't they? With their outwardly clean lives. No, unlike Thomas Bilney in his life, he knew that good works couldn't bring salvation. When he finally understood the gospel, there is no other way. There is only one door. Finally, people say, well, I don't want to commit myself. Well, the verse, what does it say here? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Verse doesn't say, walk past and look at the door. The verse doesn't say, walk up to it and see it and appreciate it. Verse doesn't say, just hear about the door and say there is only one door. Some may go close to the door and then walk away. Maybe that's your position. What does the Lord Jesus say? Those who enter in, step in, enter in, trust in Him. Go through the door. Perhaps you've seen other people entering and you've seen them go in and you've seen them changed. Follow them in. Trust in Him. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly? Or will you enter into God's sheepfold? Will you leave your sins behind and go through believing in Him and come to know the joy of a relationship with God, of the blessings of salvation, of eternal peace? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your gospel, which is free. Thank you for the blessings of salvation, which are offered freely to everyone. Lord, may we enter in. May we trust in him. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen.